Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song. We'll all be flying higher than a jet airliner. And if you want a little bang in your yin-yang, come along.
We have 20,000 sites where people can go, and I urge people to, you can Google it or go onto any search engine and find out where free testing and the free testing site is available.
I've tapped Dr. Tom, I hope I pronounced it, Inglesby, correct? Is that right?
And we could certainly propose legislation to see if people support bunny rabbits and ice cream, but that wouldn't be very rewarding to the American people.
Freedom is back in style. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah, we're coming to your city. Gonna play our guitars and sing you a country song.
The new Sean Hannity Show. More behind-the-scenes information on breaking news and more bold, inspired solutions for America. This is a special edition of The Sean Hannity Show. America trapped behind enemy lines. Day number 153.
All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show. Thanks for being with us. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. I like what Dr. Mark Siegel said, Operation Snail Speed versus Warp Speed, and how embarrassing that the White House had to correct Kamala Harris's claim that, oh, we're sending out 500 million tests next week. No, you're not. No, they weren't prepared for Christmas. It is unforgivable that they ran out of tests, they ran out of therapeutics, monoclonal antibodies, antiviral, they ran out of everything. And all of this was handed to them. You can't even make up how bad it is. Even the tests now are on back order with no sense of urgency. And Joe is out there scolding Americans for not wearing masks. These masks that they're talking about, that I'm finding people that wear masks that are still testing positive. So anyway, they announced a plan finally. What is today's date? The 14th of January. We knew Omicron was coming. In early October, they were offered 732 million tests a month, and they turned it down. That's not my reporting. That's Vanity Fair's reporting. You can't even make it up. It's so bad. Biden says if you're unvaccinated, you're 17 times more likely to get hospitalized. Nobody trusts these people anymore. Nobody. And why should they? Now, there was a CDC study that came out. We already knew Omicron was more contagious and less lethal than the Delta variant. The CDC study is saying the Omicron variant is 91% less fatal than Delta. I just don't believe, I cannot in good conscience take that on face value and believe it. It might be true, but unless I hear from somebody other than the NIH, other than Fauci, other than the CDC, you know, with their ever changing, you know, the bar moves every day with them. We have one Republican senator, Roger Marshall. He's from Kansas. We've had him on the program. He's introducing the Fauci Act after the doctor called him a moron. Good. I like that. I like the Fauci Act. Less than one third of voters trust Anthony Fauci. Only 16% trust Biden and 62% trust their own doctor. You know, Fauci says we're not going to eradicate the virus. Now we've got thousands of schools going to remote learning again. Anyway, so they had a big blow as part of their awful week. Let me play Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito in their arguments during oral arguments when they made some comments. It's very revealing.
On the issue of whether you're trying to squeeze an elephant into a mouse hole and the question of whether this is fundamentally different from anything that OSHA has ever done before, I want to see if it might be fundamentally different in at least two respects and get your answer to the question. Most OSHA regulations, all of the ones with which I'm familiar, affect employees when they are on the job, but not when they are not on the job. And this affects employees all the time. If you're vaccinated while you're on the job, you're vaccinated when you're not on the job. Isn't this different from anything OSHA has done before in that respect?
Your argument also be, would your argument be the same for any infectious disease that is taken into the workplace?
No, I think that with respect to other infectious diseases, it would be necessary for OSHA to develop the record to demonstrate that the requisite risk level that this statute requires is satisfied.
It's not that you would do it, but could you do it?
If there were, in fact, a grave danger to employees posed by another infectious disease, then yes, we think that Congress clearly contemplated that OSHA is obligated and charged with the responsibility.
Has OSHA ever done that?
OSHA has enacted any number of standards that address those kinds of threats. For example, the bloodborne pathogen standard that we have pointed to before was intended to protect employees from the risk of viruses that they can contract through bloodborne transmission. So
is that in the general workplace or just in healthcare?
That standard applied anywhere where employees can predictably encounter bloodborne pathogens. So it wasn't just the healthcare context. It can apply to flight attendants. It can apply to janitors. It was a standard that directly targeted the exposure wherever it exists, just like this one does.
All right. All part of a disastrous week. We've got to tip our hat to attorneys general all around the country and many other groups. We had Jay Sekulow and Jordan Sekulow on yesterday from the ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice. They had represented the Heritage Foundation in this case. We've talked to so many. I can't even name all the attorneys generals. Brnovich out in Arizona. Joining us now is Attorney General from Louisiana, Jeff Landry. He was at the Supreme Court during oral arguments, and the Honorable Robert Henneke, General Counsel, Executive Director at the Texas Public Policy Foundation and the lead counsel for the plaintiffs in both cases. And he represents five Texas staffing agencies that sued OSHA over the mandate and obtained a first-in-the-nation stay in the Fifth Circuit. Gentlemen, take a bow. You both did a great job. Thank you for your hard work. Robert, we'll start with you. Your take on the ruling and what this means, because Joe Biden is now out there saying that states should ignore the high court's ruling.
Well, that's a lawless pronouncement. And Sean, it's such a privilege to be with you. Also glad to be joining my friend Jeff Landry in celebrating yesterday's milestone victory, which not just stopped the private vax mandate from the Biden administration, but let's reflect that this was going to impact over 80 million Americans who were going to be subject to this unlawful vaccine mandate that the Biden administration has invested nearly a quarter of its administration so far in terms of promoting and seeking to enforce. So a milestone victory yesterday and a coalition effort, I mean, with credit to the state attorneys general across the nation and all the private parties that came together to fight this with one voice. Yesterday was the right outcome, but in some ways still leaves the insistence by the Biden administration that they have the power to do this, albeit in a different way, unresolved and part of the war to be fought and continue to be fought against this kind of tyranny.
Yeah. And what's your take, Attorney General Landry?
Well, first of all, you know, Sean, thank you for giving me some time. I definitely want to thank the Texas Policy Institute and the Pelican Institute here in Louisiana. I think one of the things that really stood out in the OSHA case were the number of actual plaintiffs, the number of businesses that went out there and actually joined attorneys general from around the country in opposing this particular mandate. I think that I don't know that Americans understand how close we came to basically an unbridled federal government that could reach into our lives at any moment. I mean, if both of these mandates had been upheld by this court, the question is there a limitation to the federal government's reach? I mean, because what these mandates do is they mandate a medical procedure on a person by coercing them with their livelihood, right? So in other words, if you say no, they say, okay, well, we just take your job away. I mean, think about the breadth of that in the United States of America under our Constitution.
Well, I look at this in the 6-3 ruling. Let me ask both of you about part two of this ruling as it relates to hospital workers and facilities that receive Medicare, Medicaid money. What's your take on that, Robert Henneke?
The Medicare health care worker decision is going to be a disaster, and I disagree with it. And here, Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh flipping sides to join with the liberals was the wrong outcome. I'm really fearful of what this is going to do.
By the way, Kavanaugh's getting torched for doing it. I mean, they are furious.
Appropriately so. I mean, which Brett Kavanaugh are we talking about here when two cases are decided in opposite ways? But if you look at the percentage of healthcare workers who are front and center at this, let's say they're the most educated people that are out there about what COVID looks like. If these individuals who have been caring for America for 2 years have chosen that they do not want to take the vaccine, they have every right to do so. But if you eliminate the 10 or 15 or 20% of the healthcare workforce that is currently not vaccinated here in the next couple of weeks, it's not just going to be disruptive to nursing homes and hospitals and assisted living facilities. It's going to be dangerous and potentially life-threatening when we have staffing shortages, especially at the time that you have high rates of illness because of the winter months. So the Supreme Court got it wrong, and I think that we're going to see here in short order the dangerous effects of that outcome.
Yeah. Your take, Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry.
I agree as well. And, you know, we forget about the whole class of medical professionals who had contracted the virus before there was a vaccine because they were taking care of COVID patients and then, you know, have natural immunity. You know, it's like for 50 years, doctors have basically talked about the benefits of natural immunity. And in 12 months, we basically have thrown it completely out the door. I think this is a case of the court giveth and the court now taketh away. And it's unfortunate to see the chief basically play politics with this. Why Kavanaugh joined him, because again, if you look at prior opinions by both the chief and Kavanaugh, even when he was on the D.C. Circuit, he was someone who believed in limiting the ability of the administrative state and the agencies. This was the court's chance to strike a very fatal blow in doing just that, in bringing the federal government back in line with the Constitution. And what they did, they split the baby on us. And it's unfortunate, and I agree, it's going to have some impact.
Quick break. We'll come back more with the Honorable Robert Henneke, General Counsel. He's the guy that argued this whole case. And Attorney General of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, he was in the Supreme Court for all the oral arguments on the vaccine mandate decision that came down. But all right, we continue. continue with Robert Hennecke, General Counsel, Executive Director, Texas Public Policy Foundation, Attorney General of Louisiana, Jeff Landry. Both played a big role in yesterday's Supreme Court decision on vaccine mandates. Let me ask you both this question, because there are cities like New York or states like New York that are not going to adhere to the Supreme Court ruling. General Electric instantly dropped the requirements earlier today, which I was glad to see. So what does that mean for people that live in cities where they don't care about the Supreme Court ruling and they're making up their own rules?
Well, if you don't mind, I'll go first on this. Here's something that is important to remember. And Sean, I'm sure your listeners and many may not like what I'm about to say, but I think I speak the truth as it relates to the law. In these pandemics and in these situations, the governmental structure is supposed to be inverted, right? And so basically states and locals share the greatest amount of power. Why? Because they govern closest to the people. And so if the state of New York imposes a mandate, a vaccine mandate, they may or may not be able to do that based upon the state constitution and their state statutes. What the Supreme Court said that OSHA, and at least when it comes to this federal agency, is not able to apply that. That's why I think we...
So you think that people in these states might be able to challenge based on the Supreme Court ruling. Is that a fair assumption?
I don't think this ruling... I think it's like apples and oranges. I think if a state basically enacts some sort of vaccine mandate, their challenges have to be done in regards to what those specific... the constitution of those states allow them to do in these particular situations.
Last 30 seconds, Robert Hennecke, we'll give them to you. What about states?
So that's where I think the Supreme Court decision yesterday misses the forest for the trees, because I do believe that the United States Constitution protects individuals from being compelled by government to undertake a medical procedure that they don't want to do. And that's if it was compelled by government, or if federal government, state government, or local government. But because the Supreme Court refuses to take on those bigger constitutional questions and only decided yesterday on a limited textual reading of the statute, we don't have further clarity. So that's going to remain unresolved, and unfortunately it's going to leave states like New York or Maine able to continue forward with their policies.
Well, I got to, both of you, please take a bow. I don't think yesterday would have happened without people like you, and there were others as well, too many to mention, that challenged this. I said it on the day that Biden gave his mandate speech that this is not going to fly. I'm glad I turned out to be right. We appreciate it. Honorable Robert Hennecke, thank you. Attorney General of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, thank you. Appreciate you joining us. Quick break, right back.
Sean gets the answers no one else does. America deserves to know the truth about Congress.
All right, 25 to the top of the hour. Linda, how many times did I say that laws weren't followed in the 2020 election? For example, many of these states in question, they have a law that says partisan observers get to watch the vote count from start to finish. That doesn't mean 20, 100, or 1,000 feet away. You can't see anything at that distance. And anyway,
I mean, you said it a lot.
Right. And the Constitution, if Pennsylvania wanted to change their Constitution, which puts great limits on mail-in balloting, they would have gone through the process rightly to change the Constitution. That's more difficult than what they did do. They tried to do it legislatively. That's unconstitutional. Well, Hannity, you lost in court. No, we didn't lose in court. The judges wouldn't take it up. That's the point. In Wisconsin, you had that 3-4 decision. Wow, it was powerful. What a powerful dissent by the Chief Justice of the Wisconsin State Court. But anyway, a judge now has ruled in that state that the absentee ballot drop boxes widely deployed in Wisconsin in 2020 were not allowed under state law. What have I been saying? We need integrity measures. The opposite of what Democrats want. They, for whatever reason, why do you think they don't want voter ID, signature verification, chain of custody control so that nobody can tamper with mail-in ballots? And lastly, I'd say now with, you know, New York City and Vermont and other places allowing illegal immigrants to vote in some elections, it's insane. Anyway.
Yeah, and New York is no exception to that. I mean, New York is one of these places where we now have almost a million illegal immigrants that are now going to be allowed to vote. And the problem is that if you're an illegal immigrant, you don't have a social security number, you're not paying into the system, but you get to dictate the way that the system works. It's, to say the very least, upsetting. And it's happening all over the country. I mean, the people on these border states, Arizona and Texas, California, I mean, they are so, that completely, their systems are completely overrun. The schools, the hospitals, the doctors. And, you know, we as Americans, you know, give us your tired, your poor. You know, we want to take care of immigrants. Just do it the right way. And there's no way to do it the right way when our borders are completely overrun. And now we're finding out that we had this reallocation of funds that could have gone to health and human services, but instead it went to
billions
at the
of dollars.
Yes.
Right. Did you see the story in the Washington Examiner about the federal judge shooting down Democratic lawyer, discredited dossier guy, Mark Elias, to, you know, wiggle out of sanctions for misleading the court? Remember, he was the Perkins Coie lawyer, best known for his, quote, funding, according to the Washington Examiner, of Christopher Steele's dirty disinformation dossier that actually Hillary Clinton paid for. But remember, they funneled the money through that law firm. And anyway, the reprimand, he was punished by a three-judge panel, U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, Fifth Circuit in March. The reprimand came for his deceptive behavior in a battle against the Republican-backed Texas law banning straight ticket voting. An attorney for Elias called him unprecedented. There's somebody to keep an eye on. And anyway, this, you know, I keep hearing about these videotapes that might exist as well, but we'll see over time. One really, really dangerous situation that has emerged in the country is on the issue of law and order. I know most people, and rightly so, you don't care about New York City. If you're smart, I would tell people just stay away. Don't bother wasting your time. Yet we have this situation. They had a homeless guy. Literally, you have a good Samaritan walks up to a homeless guy laying in the street. Looks like next to a subway. Did you see this video?
I haven't.
Okay. So the good Samaritan takes off his winter coat. It's cold in New York. Puts it, lays it gently on top of this guy. The guy, a homeless guy, you know, literally jumps up and mugs him and steals his wallet. Prosecutors ask that the guy be held on $45,000 bail on second degree robbery charges. And, you know, eventually he got remanded on $25,000 bail. But you got this new DA in New York City that is allowing all these crimes to pretty much go unpunished. You can't even make this stuff up.
No, I mean, now what is it? I think it's murder. And if you, I'm like, okay, yeah. So we still care about murder. Okay, good. And if you rob somebody and you cause them a lot of physical harm, if you cause them some physical harm, but their place of residence or business is still standing and they can still live and conduct their work, then they let them go. I'm like, uh-huh. And I'll tell you, Sean, as somebody who has given money to the homeless or given a sandwich, a lot of times I try to give food because I feel like if you give money, sometimes they can use it for drugs. And I had a guy throw the sandwich in my face. He's like, I don't want your stupid sandwich. Give me money or get away from me. I said, okay, great.
You know, I always, before I'll give money, and I do, and I used to not, but I, you know what? I'm like, okay, I'll ask, are you going to use it for drugs? Then I determine whether or not I think they're sober or not. I determine whether or not I think they're going to use it for drugs or alcohol. And if they are, I make the decision right there on the spot. I'm not going to contribute to their demise. I'm not going to do it. Last item before we hit the phones, Hunter Biden's ex-wife, Kathleen, will release a memoir, and a book is going to break this summer. If we break, it's a memoir of marriage, addiction, and healing. She's going to discuss the heavy toll of Hunter's drug addiction and what happened in their relationship, and talk about the affair that he had with his dead brother, Beau's wife. Oh my gosh.
This family is such a disaster.
What a disaster.
It's just disgusting. It really, you know, honestly, it's just gross.
You know, the pictures on the laptop, I mean, most people haven't seen what we've seen. You know, it just printed in the Daily Mail. They printed the most pictures of anybody, and the New York Post has done a great job. All right, let's get to our busy phones. Let's say hi to Scott is in the great state of Pennsylvania. Scott, how are you? Glad you called. Thanks for being with us. How do you feel about Dr. Oz, who I happen to be supporting in Pennsylvania? Have you been following it?
A little bit. I'll take a look at, some of the things. There's a lot of people that are running right now to go for Toomey's position. So, you know, it's getting to be a very crowded field. So we'll have to see how things begin to shake out there.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. Listen, there are a lot of good people that are running. I just happen, when I know somebody personally and I know what their real positions are, then I tell you what I know. And I wasn't wrong about Trump. I don't know if you remember when I supported him pretty early, I got the crap beat out of me by my fellow conservatives because they said, you're supporting a liberal. I'm like, no, I'm not. And they'd say, how do you know? I said, because I know the person for 25 years. I'm telling you, he's not a liberal. And he ended up, you know, governing just the way I told people he would. But, you know, so be it. The people that beat me up then became super Trump fans. They could have said, you know what, you were right, Hannity, but I don't think that's in them to do that. Scott, anyway, what's on your mind?
Well, so, I mean, what it really relates to Congress in general. And I guess my question is, when is enough enough? And what I mean by that is, you know, most people would agree that, you know, that true power and most of the corruption that you see lies with Congress. You know, the government threw Martha Stewart in jail for insider trading that today most people in Congress blatantly do, and even worse. And nothing ever happens. Nothing happens to them. So, you know, Congress has really stopped representing the people and needs to change. And at least my thinking is that at a start, at a minimum, they need to have some term limits. And their pay should be based on the mean of the people that they supposedly represent. You know, my question is, when is enough enough? And how do we make those changes?
Because Minority Leader McCarthy has been very straightforward. And he's taken some heat from some quarters on this. And that is that if you're a member of Congress, you can't be investing in stocks that you have any. Basically, you really shouldn't be investing in any of them. You know, I actually employ this rule on my own anyway. Linda, how many times have people offered me, you know, we'd like to make you a partner and you know, you could work with us. And in other words, they want to use my name. How many times do I say no?
I mean, it's just constant. There's always somebody with an idea or a tip or some.
Have I ever said yes?
No, you never say yes.
Let's go the other way. Have I ever said I don't do it. And the products that I do advertise on the show are products that I believe in and people that I know and things that I personally like. And we go through a whole vetting process for that. You know, it's interesting. Money changes people. I will tell you that, you know, and I've been poor in my life and I now have some money in my life. And I'm just money. You've got to be careful. It's people's motivation when it comes to money. Sometimes it just shocks me what people will do when it comes to money. I personally don't give a flying rip, you know. I have a big house for safety and security, okay? So, yeah, there you go. And I use my money usually to make my work easier, but and give as much away as I possibly can. And be responsible so that I can take care of my family as well. But short of that, Linda, do I dress like a slob or no?
You dress a lot better now. I mean, I've been with you a long time. We've moved on up.
Okay. Because you guys convinced me to change my jeans and my shoes. What else do I wear? A baseball hat.
You wear fireman t-shirts, New York NYPD t-shirts, baseball caps, sweatpants.
My daughter's team, stuff like that. That's what I wear. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that 1 hour a day people see me is not the real me. They make me wear that stupid suit jacket. And half the time I either have jeans or sweatpants on. But anyway, I've never wanted money to be the driving force of my life. And I see that for many people it is. I was happy. I think back now and I wonder, how the heck did I not understand what dire straits I was in, you know, living paycheck to paycheck? But it never dawned on me that I really didn't have any money. But, you know, I go back, I look at old Stone Bank receipts when I lived in Rhode Island. My total account value was $200.
But, you know, Sean, there's something to be said for that, right? So it's like, you know, you look at everyday people, like look at all of these people all over the country right now. And they need, you know, healthcare, they need assistance, they need whatever they need. And they're going paycheck to paycheck. And the things they value the most are their families, their time with their families, and the ability to keep a roof over their head and gas in the car and food on the table for their kids. And it's the Biden, you know, bare shelves Biden that's making that harder than ever. And then you top that with bringing in tons of illegal immigrants that now are going to get free healthcare and free education. And starting with states like California, why aren't we taking care of people in this country that need it too?
I think you got to do it first. We don't have enough money for the world. We just don't.
No, we don't.
And we're burdening our kids and grandkids with insurmountable debt. And I think about that too. And
that's actually very well said. Very well said. Insurmountable debt.
And their answer is pretty much full confiscation of wealth. I mean, they're actually proposing, you know, you pay taxes your whole life, and then if you invest it and you get lucky and you make a little more money, then you pay taxes again. They get another bite at the apple.
This is chapter four of Live Free or Die, by the way. This is socialism.
Well, exactly. Now they want it. If you save money after they've had their multiple bites at the apple, then when you die, you can't direct the money to the people that you love in your life, because that's just not fair. You're giving them an advantage. Well, then why am I working my ass off? Now, I don't work for money. I work because I'm passionate about what I do. And these two elections coming up are going to be the tipping point for this country. So it
matters. But in all fairness to you, you do what a lot of people don't, which is that you share your money. You know, and that's being straight up and honest. I mean, I have been out with you on numerous occasions, you know, where the team goes out, we're on remote, you meet somebody and you're like, oh, I'll get you a computer. And I'm like, what? I mean, it's like, you know, we've got a college plan for you. Where do you want to go? How can I help you? Oh, this table can't afford their dinner tonight. We'll pay for that table. You know, just pay for all those tables over there. They got a lot of kids. What is happening? I mean, I've seen you do it time and time again.
I don't like talking about me, but
I know, but I mean, you even bought dinner for CNN in Finland. I mean, that was a big moment for you. I gotta say,
I didn't buy them dinner. I think I just bought them drinks.
I don't know what you bought them. Whatever it was too
whatever
much.
Whatever it was, and then everybody else was eating. What the moose? Oh my!
Oh, so gross.
Everybody wanted
deer
me.
And,
by the way, raw moose.
Just
I'm like,
disgusting.
Oh gosh, disgusting. Anyway, 800-941 Sean is our number. You want to be a part of the program?
Defending freedom, providing clarity, and calling out the left. Now, more than ever, we need Hannity.
Hey, if you 075 or their website, LoneStarTransfer.com.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.